Welcome, folks, to Wobbly Player Syndrome, episode 27. Yay!
Woo!
Oh, goes wild. Get wild, Mark.
Woo!
I hope you're all having fun in your self-isolation or social distancing, whatever you'd like to call it. We like to call it going raving mad in the same house. Today, we have four of us. We might have a fifth join us, but so far it's just four. And we have me. Hi, Greg, or Red Belly, or Grizzly, as someone else keeps calling me. But that's not the point.
Not me.
And it's not me, that's Isabel. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, or dodgy bitch, or cheers, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. We have safe for work, Mark.
Hey.
How you going?
Good.
That's good. And we got ready to mic.
Hey, hey.
Oh, what, you got the same script you two? Hey, hey.
Well, that's why he's safe for work.
So welcome to joining us. Welcome to joining us. They're the good words. Today we are looking at the Forgotten Factions. We are sort of focusing on, we know that the Psychic Awakening has been going on for how long now?
Feels like forever.
Feels like
some
forever.
Time.
Yeah, so for quite some time. And we feel that there's some people who have been forgotten in this Psychic Awakening. Yes, I'm dressing myself after the camera goes live. That's not the point. So we're going to have a look about what's been forgotten or who should get some more recognition than they've been given. And we'll even touch on people who've just been forgotten completely. Meanwhile, what's been new released?
Oh, well, the new releases is actually pretty short this month. Because Games Workshop have been closed up until, like, a couple of days ago, really. And, so we've just got, they released Lexicanium Varus and Sister Tariana Palos for Made to Order a couple of weeks ago, which looked pretty cool. And that was it, really. I guess new releases, Games Workshop's opened again. They're like going to start shipping stuff again. So that's a new release. Everything is a new release because it's available again.
What's old is new.
Yeah. Which is great, because I needed to buy a new Helverin, because my dog ate one of my Helverins.
That's quite a issue to have.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I just want to point out, every time Isabel types to try and secretly send me a message while it doesn't interrupt, it does come up on the screen so everyone can see it. It's awesome. Yeah, so wait for the comeback here. Hi, everyone. There you go. It works for the podcast. So when we record this, and when it gets converted to the podcast, no one will know. It's awesome. So that was pretty exciting about new releases. Yeah.
Woo.
Warehouse is opening. Yeah.
Woo.
That's pretty exciting. They have talked about new models. The new Catachan Sergeant just looks fucking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that we've talked about previously as coming up will come out sometime in the future now.
Yeah, well, the sergeant we talked about, the one who's come straight out of Predator, he was released, announced after our last podcast.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, we didn't actually talk about him, did we? But he hasn't come out yet?
No.
No, he's available at Stockist. He's a special Stockist only thing. Yeah, that's why I forgot about him, because he's not actually available.
Oh, I thought you forgot about him because
every Stockist is going to get, like, two of them. So.
I thought you didn't want to talk about it because you expect Games Workshop was being nice and you didn't quite comprehend that. So,
yeah. I mean, it's cool and all, but no one's expecting to get actually like usable amounts of stock of it. So I'll see what happens with that.
I've already spoken to my local and I've sold my children's soul to get one, so it should be fine. They don't need them.
Straight to the warp anyway.
That's it. Alright, so that was new release. It was pretty exciting. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh god, thought I'd stop doing that, but apparently no. So we go into hobby progress. I'll start off because mine's pretty simple. I've done none. Alright, move on.
Yeah, I've done none either.
No, I should exaggerate. I should elaborate. I have put together. I did get the Mighty Morph Power Rangers. That's right. What are they called? Metromorph from Kickstarter, and I got a couple of boxes of those, and I have put that together a couple of times, made different models, different buildings, and they're pretty freaking awesome, I got to say. If you can get your hands on it, it's just so easy to put together, and they come up well. They're sturdy, so we had a game yesterday, which we'll talk about Battle Report, and yeah, they look good, except they didn't protect me enough from the freaking AdMech, but we'll get into that later. There you go, Battle Report. Yeah, move on. Michael?
I built more Khorne Demons, as you do. Mostly just Flesh Hounds, really, and continuing to work on these bloodletters that I've got. I don't know if I mentioned that I built a whole pile of Necromunda hired guns and stuff out of resin.
No.
Well,
but I did that.
Cool.
So I've been just kind of... I haven't done heaps. I've just been trying to every now and then get something done. Yeah. With the kids around, I don't want to have like resin and glue everywhere. Now that they're at school, I might get some more stuff done.
Yeah. I just want a quick shout out to thank you, Michael. Mikey... for the like for the stream, appreciate it. Comment as much as you'd like. We might even read it. That's not right. We will read everything.
Of course. I'll answer it.
There you go.
Unless I'm talking and stuff.
Yeah. So if we do get distracted, because we're really deep concentration. But yeah, thanks for the like. Yeah, yeah. So that was it. That was our hobby project. Oh, sorry. Isabel, any hobby progress?
I got out some old codices.
You did.
That's it.
Cool. So, yeah, you can see, I know a lot of people say, look, you got all this spare time. We're in the house. You should be hobbying like mad.
What spare time?
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
I still have a job, and now I have kids at home all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've just been chasing children.
Yeah, my hobby progress of trying new beer has been growing, so that's been good, because a lot of breweries have been offering free delivery, so that's been fun.
New scotches count?
New scotch.
Awesome. All right, so we'll move straight into battle reports, because we've all been doing those, haven't we?
Well, I've played a bunch of Blood Bowl in the last month, but yes. Not much else.
Yeah, so you may have been watching, Blood Bowl has been our latest online experience since we haven't been able to see each other face-to-face for so long, and we have been playing for, I think we're up to week 5 or 6 now. I don't remember. We had a Monday nights, apart from today, we'll be doing it tomorrow night. It's when we play. You can jump on. You'll be able to see at least my game and probably Isabel's game. I don't know if anyone else is streaming.
I may not be on.
Oh,
sad. I was on last week. I had a whole win. I'm quitting while I was ahead.
Well, we did have games, and I got to play. I'll start with my battle report, apparently. I got to play against the Ravensoul Blades with my bearded meat. For the fourth time, I've had a win, a loss, and a draw, so we figure we must have a result by this time. And so that's my necromantic team for Chris's Dark Elf team. And I did have a win. It was a convincing win of 4-1. So that will teach that dirty scum, don't ever come at me again.
you know you're going to play them again.
I can see it
happening
tomorrow. Yeah.
This week, yep.
It did change the ladder, but I'll talk about that after everyone else talked about their games. How'd you go? Oh, well, Mark played Isabel, and Isabel played Mark.
And I played you.
Oh, you did play me. You did. I said I wanted to play against a team that's not Chris, essentially. So Mark volunteered his halflings.
So
I had beaten them up.
No. That was pre. Amazon beating.
Yeah.
So they've been beaten twice. So I feel like play is a strong word when I'm when I'm involved in this game, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. If you are watching the Twitch stream, you can actually see the halfling game and my in lunch. Is it lunchtime? That's what they're called.
Yes.
The beard meat is being replayed in the bottom left hand corner. So you can actually see that as we're doing this stream tonight. Lucky you, Mark. You get to see
people. I just always have the goal of trying to throw a halfling every game. It gets me through.
Well, considering we are missing an extra person, which has put the camera out, I will make it bigger so people can see it. There you go, folks.
Well, that won't distract people.
Not even slightly.
No. What are they going to do? Watch us? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Cool. So you can talk about your two games. Because we played, it was bloody. You got away with only how many? There was no deaths. You saved the guy who died, didn't you?
Yeah, I lucked out and got petty cash for once in my life. And I got all kinds of credit. There's some really good stuff in there if you ever get the money to buy it. That beer thing that, like, took re-rolls off you and the gave Halfling them to cookbook. Me.
The Halfling fantastic. Chef, yeah. Really
that was
good.
Nasty. I didn't like
it. Because I just bought a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't know what any of it did. So I was just like, yeah, that guy's got like a chicken and that guy's got like other stuff. And and it all wound up working really well. Not that I could, you know, get any points, but...
Yeah. I think we knew the result was just going to be how damaging it was going to be. But you did wound my flesh golem, I believe, didn't you? Took him down. And then your tree decides the rest of the game was best on his back.
Yeah, they seem to like doing all their work on their back.
Moving on.
They're a tree, you know. They're experts. A tree is an expert at a good root.
I was hoping someone wasn't going to say that. I was hoping someone would leave that alone.
What leaves deep roots alone? Come on. Now, I think our game, Mark, I think it was kind of the competition of the two shittest teams in the league, and you just managed to have more worse luck than me.
We didn't have that many turnovers, though, unlike your other game.
That game was hilarious. Like more than 25 turnovers in a 32 turn game.
Yeah, the highlight is on the Facebook page for that one. Where I said, yes. Highlight all the turnovers.
I wish they'd let me rename players. Like, burning three rerolls, picking up the ball in the first like 10 minutes of the game was just ridiculous.
Well, it did even the playing field, given that I started that game with zero rerolls. And I finally, because I won and I rolled a six on, money, the winnings, I was able to buy a whole reroll for my team.
A whole reroll? Ooh,
I'm back. I'm back. I've got a whole reroll.
Outrageous.
I know.
Marco, how'd your go again?
I think I only played like two or three games in the RLG League, two of which are against Nathan. I keep playing Nathan randomly. Yeah. And I won those. I think you were saying I'm undefeated in the RLG one.
You are.
But I've only played like two or three games, so it doesn't matter as much. I've mostly been playing with some other guys who invited me to a round robin where I came second and am in the semi-final tomorrow night.
Ooh. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was all stunty teams. So you had to be goblins or halflings or underworld.
Oh, I love it.
So, like, the toughest thing out there is the team that has a skaven or two. And it's been an absolute ridiculousness. Like, I've had multiple games where one or both teams had like six players left by the end of the game because it's all goblins and halflings, so they all just fall apart. I don't think any trolls have eaten any goblins yet, which is the worst bit about trying to throw when you've got a troll. If a troll rolls a one, he eats the goblin, and the goblin dies instantly.
Oh. Why aren't they in Blood Bowl 2?
They are.
They are?
That's what I was playing as. I've been playing as a goblin team, and I've been trying not to throw my good goblins because I didn't want them to get eaten.
I love the fact that there's good goblins.
Well, you know, the goblins who have any star player points.
Yeah.
The league gives you statistics.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the top punching bags, like three of the top five are goblins from my team out of all of the teams nice. In the league.
How do you manage that? I
You've got
don't
halflings.
Know. With halflings, I don't have anyone on the punching bag in the top 20.
Really?
I just... Yeah. My goblins get...
He turns them over. They die and he keeps getting new ones.
Yeah, my goblins just get punched and they get back up and then they get punched and then they get back up and they get punched.
Yeah, see, mine don't get back up and I usually wind up having to buy new ones because I've started calling them meat shields.
My chainsaw actually won the biggest serial killer of the league.
Nice.
In one game alone, he killed three players in three consecutive turns. Blitz dead, Blitz dead, Blitz dead. Like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I just created an Underworld team in the Cablevision League, and I can safely say you three are in the team because the player's been named after the followers from Twitch. So two of you are gobbos, and one of you is not. That's Game in Lineman, that's the one. So there you go. Check it out. I'll be playing that team probably later on tonight, depending how this goes. But yes, it's an interesting. And yeah. So we'll go the ladder quickly. All right. So you are unbeaten. It's true. You are currently sitting in second place. The Bretonians with 3 wins, no losses. I'm still on top with 8 wins. One loss, one. Which yeah, did you knock the Dark Elves, down to third place, which is awesome.
Yeah, being unbeaten only gets you so far when you've only played 3 games.
Yes. and the other Bretonian team haven't won a game, so you're doing something for the Bretonians. So people who are watching the stream, they can see the ladder there. That is up there. We've got the next round tomorrow night. Oh, maybe I'll get the Bretonians because they're second place. The matchup of the Blood Bowl 2 is just so shit.
I'm afraid I'll be playing Risk Legacy instead.
Yeah, how many times did it pair you with Iz? Like, it's not... It doesn't remember previous matchups. It just does it randomly every time.
Yeah, it's pretty ordinary. Anyway, look, I actually got to play a game of 40K on Saturday. In person.
Oh, wow.
With a person in the same room. That's not family.
Did the AFP come and take you away?
We were allowed to have one person, 2 people.
This was after Friday, was it?
It was after Friday. So, yes, we did work it out. I actually played against Rob. He brought his 1,000-point AdMech army, and I had my 1,000-point Death Guard army. And my Death Guard army generally doesn't do well against his AdMech because he's too much shooty, shooty, bang, bang. And I'm just going, oh, I'll get there eventually. And the first turn was very much like that. I went, oh, crap. And then the second turn went, yeah, because the bloat drones got in and they just started doing their thing. Everybody loves fainted bloat drones. Love them.
Nobody likes them.
We said, oh, I've gone over 1,000 points. I've got 120. You can put something else for 120. Went, oh, okay. That means I could take the Chaos Spawn out, put the third bloat drone in then. You're welcome.
That'd be where next time he'll bring those bloody robots.
Oh, there was. He had 12 of them on the field.
Ooh, okay.
No, sorry. Three, six. Yeah, 12. He had 12 of them on the field. Plus the 2 Dune Striders, plus the tank, and 1 unit of the long rifle guys. That was it. That was his army. And because of that, I did not win. Because I ended the game with one vehicle left on the table, and he was only alive because they had no line of sight. It was because it was the crawler just trying to go...
Plinking away.
Yeah. Plink. So he actually won 9-5. Yeah, it did. And that was streamed. We actually tried streaming that game, so people who got to watch. Isabel said hello at one point.
I did. I was walking the dog. I looked. Yeah. I was out. Oh, look.
So we have witnesses to this game.
We do have witnesses to this game, which means on the 40K ladder that we have, Rob has actually jumped up to 7th spot. I am still in top spot, but only by percentage. And I believe it is Steve who is got the same amount of wins and points.
But did either of you spray your teeth silver when Iz witnessed you? Bad hack joke.
I did cut my arm off and shave my
head. I got it.
Yes.
Because I was furious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, look, we lost all our viewers. Well done, Mike.
That's because we haven't got to the point.
All right. So that was... We did our little normal stuff pretty quick. We move on to our rambling in a different way on a monthly topic, shall we? Which means we do have that 30 seconds of advertisement. And this is really funny because usually you see the 4 of us run to get a drink in 30 seconds to make it back in time.
I'm just going to pull one right here.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to do the dash.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Mine's over here. So yeah, I'm
leaning forward this way, and I'm getting ready. So when you're ready, folks.
I'm ready.
I have to work tomorrow, so yeah.
I am in flavor country.
I better work tomorrow.
Right, we'll just give our first, a 30-second advert, and we'll be right back, and we'll get stuck into our topic, the Forgotten Factions. Be right back, folks.
We are Rollers, and we have the games for you, be it board games, card games, dice games, or party games. You name it, and we have it. Find us online at rollersboardgames.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at rollersboardgames.
From acoustic to distortion, Storyboard Concept is music that's honest, relaxing, and full-bore rockin' music. Follow Colin at storyboardconcept.bandcamp.com. And we are back, and I did make it, so if you hear me breathing heavily, it's not because I'm excited. Well, I got a beer, so I am excited. Wonder why. Alright, so thank you to Rollers Board Games for the accessories they provide us for the gaming world that we love and enjoy. Check out their games. It's been quite a good time. I've got a few new games from Rollers. Well, I am breathing out. I want to get Epic Wars and a couple other games. Oh, Caffeine Hit. Yes, it's a game about making coffee. Very useful.
Sounds interesting.
Yes. And thanks to Big Jamie, who provides us with all our artwork. And, of course, Storyboard Concept for our music. Hope you enjoy the music. Check them out. The links for their stuff does come up at the end of the stream. I hope. Right. So I can catch my breath. Someone else should talk. Oh, God.
All right. Well, this evening, we're going to be talking about the Forgotten Factions. And I've got to admit, being a person that doesn't play the contemporary game and my knowledge is historical, having a look at 8th edition, I was extremely impressed at the number of codices there are. And I was kind of sitting there just going, what the hell's been forgotten? What could possibly have been forgotten? You know, aside from squats, again. But we'll get to them later. All right?
We'll get to you.
But suffice to say that my research for this episode has revealed to me for the first time, and it might not be the first time for you. You may have already seen it. What the hell happened to the squats? I know. Scots. I know what happened. I know why they're not there. But I also know that they are there, and they exist in the current lore.
Yes.
So just you know, hold your horses and type it in the chat and ruin it for me. So, really, we were going to talk about predominantly 4 factions. The Adeptus Custodes, Harlequins, Death Watch, and I believe Legion of the Damned was the 4.
Custodes have been...
No, Sisters of Silence. Yeah. That's right. Adeptus Custodes is their, like, teammates. Yeah. So I'm just going to just... I want to understand about these things. Inquisition was one of the other ones that we weren't quite sure on, so I'll just sort of throw that in at the back end. But I want to understand about the Sisters of Silence because I don't get it. And my research has revealed, yes, they were first codified in 7th, I believe, alongside the Adeptus Custodes. Yeah. And 8th hasn't supplied that side-by-side codex, which is a little odd, you'd think. But the fact is that they were important enough not to be like a subsection of the Adeptus Custodes codex. But then are they really important enough, and is there enough meat on the Sisters of Silence lore to justify a codex?
Sure.
What am I missing?
No. I really like the Sisters of Silence. I think that because they're the null maidens, so it just pisses off psychers, which I always like. I like the lore behind them in the books, that they just kick ass in a very silent manner. Who would have thought? And, you know, as you said, in 7th they brought them out. They brought that the Talons of the Emperor box set, which had the Custodes and the Sisters in there, and the big golden Land Raider. It was a Land Raider, wasn't it? Yeah. There's a lot of talk behind them. They just did a launch where...
Not behind the Sisters of Silence, has not.
I missed it. I'm pointing over here so you can see in my room, obviously. They just released a model, a new model for a Sisters of Silence model that came with the Custodes. And I just feel, well, if you want to use them and you're not putting them in an agent of Inquisition or Imperial agents, where are they? Why have you forgotten them? The last time they had any love was White Dwarf entry in October last year. That was update. That was their update from the index. I thought that was post poor. I think they could have been doing more.
Yeah, I'm sort of wondering why they didn't just put that in the Custodes Codex.
Yeah.
Because I mean that's how they've kind of been. They've been that extra page or whatever in the back there.
They don't have a lot of units, but nor do the Custodes do now because of the Codex. So they could have expanded the Sisters under that banner if they really wanted to.
I think the problem has been 30K, because like the Custodes as well have a bunch of units that are only available in the 30K game that aren't in the 40K Codex. And there's a bunch of Sisters stuff that's in 30K that isn't anywhere near 40K.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of it. They weren't sure what to do with it. Like I feel like maybe they intended to make them a bigger thing in 40K and then just didn't get around to it because they were too busy with everything else they were doing. Mm. And so Forge World kept throwing them into 30K and nothing came in 40K.
Well, when they did the White Dwarf, they had three units and a Rhino. That was it.
Mm.
Mm. So, yeah.
So, well, given that they're non-psychic, they're like nega-psychic.
Yeah.
Will they show up in the last Psychic Awakening book, do you think?
Ooh. It would be cool if they did.
It would be cool, yeah.
Because, I mean, we've seen rumblings with the lore with the whole assassins being covered and some of that kind of stuff. So maybe, I don't know. It's, yeah.
Well, that's a good point, because the little story that came out where the Custodes just decided to shoot
There were sisters there. They were hanging out.
Yeah.
What were they deciding to shoot?
There was one of the stories in the Psychic Awakening was a Marine chapter was getting crazy amounts of psychers and they just kept having to kill all their Marines and they got sick of their shit and decided, well, no, fuck the Imperium. We're not going to kill all these Marines just because they're suddenly psychic. And then the Imperium was like, so how about that heresy, eh? And there was a short story of the Primaris Marines who'd been newly made and were being sent to reinforce this chapter. And the Primaris Marines show up to like, oh, our new chapter that we've been given to has gone heretic. That's not good. And when they express confusion about being asked to surrender themselves to the Custodes murder them all.
Yeah, they shot first.
Yeah.
Well, if their whole chapter has been...
Well, the thing is, though, they're
fallen. Then that's just the rules, right? Your chapter's fallen. You're confused. It's over.
Yeah, that's what the Custodes say. The Custodes are like, look, the rules are clear. Your chapter's been declared hereticus. It doesn't fucking matter what you think.
Yeah.
And the Custodes and the Primaris are like, can't we talk about this? Like, obviously, we're not bad guys. We only just got here.
Yeah.
We've only been fighting with you for 6 months.
I thought I said to shut up, Shank.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
guilt by association.
The Primaris Marines, they just should have expected it, really. Although, to be fair, they've probably only been in training for, you know, X number of years, and they probably don't have the globally, you know, or the universal knowledge required to undertake even an argument with the Custodes.
The story refers to them as Grey Shields, which I think means they probably come from the crusading forces of Gulliman, which were busting around for like 150 years, uniting the galaxy. So they're like not even really attached to the chapter they've been sent to. They've just been told, all right, that you're done. You're done being unchaptered. Go join that chapter.
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm sorry, fucking what?
Yeah, so we've gone away from it. But yeah, there was Sisters of Silence sitting on the bridge going, okay.
This is a bad idea.
Shit.
Why are we doing
we
this?
We should probably do something.
I don't know. They weren't saying.
Sure.
I don't think they were saying any of that. I think they were just going
with
quietly.
Their eyes.
It was all told from the
with their
like.
Eyes.
It was like the.
They were gesticulating wildly.
And the sister is just like, this isn't a good idea. Why are we doing this? Oh, well, guess I better help out the custodies. It's what I do.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
All right. So, well, yeah, no, I think it's actually a good idea. I agree with you. I think it's a good idea and it should happen. Whether it will, who knows? They've had a lot of time to revise what's going on in this book, I suspect, because even printing hasn't been something that's been capable of being done in the short term. So something else that may show up in Psychic Awakening, the Eldari have had a huge number of Psychic Awakening things come out. They've got their own codices. Harlequins have got their own codices, but haven't had mention in the Psychic Awakening, to my knowledge. So is this where we're going to get the Harlequin treatment too? Are they going to get their Psychic Awakening love?
No, their Psychic Awakening has been assigned to a white dwarf couple of pages. So that's this month's White Dwarf. So, as you said, printing issues. Who knows when we'll see it. I haven't actually seen anything on the community page about it. I've seen a few things about the other White Dwarf release, but nothing about the latest one.
It really seems like they've kind of gone, hey, we did this book, and then like a few... like 6 months later, someone's whispered in their ear, hey, you know, you forgot this part of like the book that you should have done. And then they go, oh, crap. White Dwarf.
Look,
I think there probably is a bit of that.
It's not been uncommon for them to, because they did the Assassins in a White Dwarf, didn't they?
They did.
So I don't think it's necessarily an oversight that they did him in a White Dwarf. They're just like, it's the Harlequins, who cares? We'll put him in a White Dwarf.
Well, they gave them their own codex. They don't have a lot of units because, you know, we did the Sligo last year. I was going to do Harlequins. I went, I can't do the same model over and over again. But a big revamp of the Eldari, and they still are attached to that.
I'm still surprised that the Harlequins got their own codex and the Exodites are still nowhere to be seen. Exodites are a way more interesting army and have actual, like, diversity.
Yes.
All right. Well, speaking of lost chapters, speaking of lost factions, before we get to the squads, let's talk about the Exodites. Remind me. All right. So, so Harlequins are probably done. And how sad are we? Are we sad? Does anyone play Harlequins?
No, we don't have a player in our group who plays Harlequins. As I said last year, I was looking at it because I thought it'd be a nice challenging army because different to what I normally play.
And no models.
Oh, they've got some really nice models. It's just not a lot of unit choices. I like the lore behind them and stuff like that. And they're just unique. I think they're a great side army. You know, and
Harlequins are like, they're cool models with great fluff. I used to love them in second edition with the Harlequin's Kiss that like stuck you and blended you into like a fine soup on the inside of your armor. Yeah. But they're not an army. In the fluff, they never travel as an army. They show up and help Eldari.
Yeah.
They show up and help Drukhari. They show up and help Exodites. They don't move as an army.
Which is very Legion of the Damned.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
But what I was saying, the difference with the Legion. We'll talk about Legion.
We will in a second.
There's different. what are they called in the troops? Different troops. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
Masks. Different masks. So every other faction has had their book released and given you a create your own chapter, create your own cults and stuff like that. But we don't get that with the. Well, we don't know if we're going to get that with the Harlequins. If we get that in the book in the White Dwarf, don't know. I think it's just more. Everyone else is getting a way to customize your army to the way you want to play. Will they get that customization? I know, small faction, add-on, ally. It'd still be nice to have that name generator.
Yeah, that's the important bit.
Their name generator will be, please see Eldar name generator.
Yeah.
And add a K.
No. It'll Silent be like... Q. It'll be like add 12th century actor prefix. I don't know. Mordecai of Sussex Inlet. You know. Because it's a beautiful part of the world. All right. So speaking of factions that have had their codex, but you know, there is more sort based on the amount that we've seen for other factions. Deathwatch, how are they going? What's they feel to me perhaps just a little like Sisters of Silence, that they're a bit nega psychic. Perhaps we should get them in the psychic awakening as a negating factor.
I'm kind of expecting they'll show up with the Necrons, because like the Necrons of Xenos, that's the Death Watch's job. So it would make sense if they were there.
Death Watch released in what month was it last week? April. April's White Dwarf. That's where they got theirs. Their Psychic Awakening is a White Dwarf insert.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
did
weird.
They awaken psychically? Because that would make no sense.
But I mean, yeah, yet again,
Death Watch. No, but Death Watch is an army. You can play army of Death Watch.
Well, and they even rated an entire
and codex.
Still am not convinced they rated a whole codex. Like, Death Watch have always been, like, you know, a special forces thing. Much like the Harlequins, yeah. I thought it was weird they made them an army
if
unto
Custodes
themselves.
Custodes can get a full army, who are a specialist elite force.
Did I say that Custodes made sense solo. To defend an army?
I think Death Watch, the Death Watch lore and the, and just, I love it. It's the best of the best. You know, there's a Salamander Sergeant over this big flamer. But they got rid of that character. They got rid of the character of the Death Watch as well. And when they did bring out the codex, where is the Brennatar? Where is other people who aren't Salamanders? Come on! No, I don't play Salamanders. Why do you ask?
Cassius was in there.
Yep.
Yeah, because he was in the board game, yeah?
Yeah. So, I think Death Watch could have got more love than a simple two-page. And it really, if it's going by the last White Dwarf releases of Sister Silence and Inquisition, they will get about two, maybe three pages, and that's it. And if that's all it requires for them, okay, maybe they don't need their full Psychic Awakening book.
Well, the question also becomes, you know, could they have snuck those three pages in the back of the Marines book and called it a day?
Yeah.
Which one of the two codexes for the Marines?
Exactly.
Oh, well, they brought out a supplement.
So there's plenty of opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They make more sense as a supplement codex than they did as an actual codex.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Marine chapters that make more sense as a supplement... Legion of the Damned.
Yes.
So I had a little post on Facebook for this episode where I got brutally beaten down because I forgot, because I read that bloody book so often, that they were actually mentioned with rules in the second Ed Ultramarine Codex, which you can see in my hot little hands here. Page 74 and 75. Yeah, whatever. For you podcast listeners, it's an Ultramarines Codex, and it's second ed, and it's in mint condition because I did actually use that a lot, but I'm really careful. Anyway, so they're basically a veteran Space Marine who has special rules, and you could take them as a squad. They were not able to be taken as an army.
Yeah.
They had veteran Space Marine stats. But they weren't able to be broken. They did not break under any circumstances. And they caused fear in their opponents. Fear was I don't know if it still exists as an effect of battle. But fear meant you needed to roll a dice each time you were in combat with them to see if you would break. They were codified in second ed. But they were also properly codified with their own codex, which I have not seen. In 7th ed, was it 6th ed? No, I think it was 7th. Anyway,
don't recall.
Where are they at? They're kind of a myth. They were always a bit OP.
So
they don't show up as a full army. What do they need?
Okay, so they did get released in 8th as an index-only army, and they got literally one page of stuff and one page of fluff. That's all they got. And they had some really cool models. For the old school models, they were very cool. And they've just never been seen again or heard of, spoken of.
And see, the thing is, I feel like that's a missed opportunity. It's psychic awakening, and you're missing the Marines that show up randomly when people are in need, you know?
The chapter who show up in the Imperium's greatest hour don't show up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Yet again, there are chapters that I feel like they need a fucking book of, like, you know, all of the various factions within the Imperium who show up that you can add to your army. Almost like an Imperial Agents, I might call it.
No.
I'm not sure what you would call that book.
Would you feel like there should be a book like that?
I have no idea, but they should definitely do that.
Yeah, they probably should. You could probably include things like Inquisition in it.
Yeah. That they'd work really well in that book. If only there was
and
a book.
And Assassins.
Like... It was 6th Ed, by the way, and it was an e-book. Legion of the Damned showed up in 6th Ed as an e-book.
Nice.
Back when they did e-books.
Okay. Inquisition.
Well, yeah. Inquisition, it's an interesting one because, like you were saying, they're an Imperial agent. They're like a detective looking for... heretics, basically. Yes. And they work alone. They're the highest enforcement rank in the Imperium. Pretty much no one except the Emperor outranks them. And they usually wander around space leading a small army of their own, generally personally recruited or requisitioned from the ranks of the Imperium aligned factions, whether it be Space Marines, Astra Militarum, Adeptus Mechanicus, Sisters of Herodotus, whatever. Exactly. And so realistically, if you're going to build an inquisitorial army, you would have to build a mishmash of factions, which opens the door for insane amount of beard bullshit. Or you would have to use them as an addition to your standard Imperium-based army.
Yeah, like I used to use Inquisition armies in Apocalypse a lot. In previous editions when I played heaps of Apocalypse, and it was usually I would build a normal army, I would attach like a squadron of three Valkyries to it, and there'd be an Inquisitor in one of those leading one of the Scion squads.
Yeah.
And that would be my Inquisitorial army. It would be a guard army that had an Inquisitor who showed up in a dropship to go do whatever bullshit he wanted to do, and the rest of the army just rolled out and fought a normal battle.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they're Inquisition.
Yeah. Inquisition's not a full army. You're right. They are.
Yeah.
They're going to
take over someone. They are one dude who's got cool stuff who shows up in a cool ride while the rest of the army is there supporting them.
But,
yeah, it's almost like an alternate HQ choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they got their own White Dwarf Codex. And that was back in November last year. So still no Psychic Awakening tweak to it. They had
At least they didn't get COVID.
Yeah, it's true. They had a few Inquisitor names in there, including a new one. What I love about the Inquisition is, yeah, you're right. They are a character, so they should have some flavor to them. Mm-hmm. There is no flavor to them. You know, if I can get a warlord trait, they can't. There's nothing. It's just, and you get, here's my acolytes. He has, what are the acolytes allowed to have? By time, quick. Oh, yes, a las pistol and chainsaw. Can they upgrade that? They could have another pistol. But there's no flavor to it. And I see if, you know, read the books, read...
you're expecting like a laser eye or...
I'm expecting tactical things. What do the Space Marines have? Those, like, things that they do on the battlefield that you've got cards for.
Doctrines.
Those ones.
Yeah.
If you could have doctrines or stratagems that were specific to Inquisitors and you could choose, you know, a limited number from a broad range, that would be brilliant.
I think it's what let me down is just the acolyte side. You can get an acolyte and they're just Joe Blow who's been thrown a pistol.
Yeah, like the last version of the Imperial Agents Inquisitors, I think it was,
Their
acolytes could be given anything.
Yeah.
I've got an acolyte. The acolyte came with like no gear, and you're like, "What do you want to put him in? Do you want to put him in flak armor, carapace armor, power armor? Do you want to have a bolt gun, a las gun, a shotgun? What do you feel like?"
Yeah. Not no more.
Yeah, I had like, I was like, "Oh, I'll buy the equipment that a Sister of Battle has and use Sister models."
Yeah.
As acolytes.
Well, that's it. I've got models. I said they'd be great for a Inquisitive force, but I can't use them the way they look because I can't give them the weapons they have. And instead of going, well, shit.
Yeah.
And see, this begs the question, how much of this stuff will wind up getting sort of written out into the legends
I don't think they can sort get of rid area? Of I think it's too much. Too
if there's too deep in the lore, the only way they could get rid of Inquisitors would be to get rid of the Imperium.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, I know. But they're not going to get rid of any of it, probably. The thing is that they could just turn around and go, well, we're not going to give you up-to-date rules.
Yeah. Now, yeah. The flip side to the Inquisitors, they are a character-driven. 40K is not a character-driven. It's meant to be troops, heavy weapons and stuff. So I can understand why they're not going to put... Here's your choose your own adventure, Inquisitor.
Could they be on approach to rebooting the Inquisitor subgame?
That
game.
I don't think so. There was noise about it.
Yeah.
Side note, 40K is not character driven. Do you remember the tag team, Tawny? Nathan and mine armies were basically a character around which the army moved.
Yeah, you and Nathan have no character.
This was the last character-driven 40K. Yeah. Second ed.
Yeah.
When you could have just attach war gear to your heroes and it would basically be heroes and flies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have made a conscious effort to make troops more important. Tried to, I should say. People get around the meta.
Yeah.
Yeah. In second ed, I had a Marine captain with a jump pack cross the table and kill something like 92 Imperial Guardsmen on his own before he got took down by weight of fire of tanks.
Clearly wasn't my kind of chance.
I remember charging one of my assault Marine squads into hand-to-hand against a group of, I think they were like either Lehman Russes or Predators. And they just ripped them a new one because they were all carrying crack grenades.
Oh, yeah, and having Orc Warboss was the best thing ever.
And they were led because I'd attached to them to a commander unit that was full war gear, full character. And so it was just a mess.
Yeah. So, do they deserve their own book? No. Do they deserve mentioning in Psychic Awakening? Well, didn't we just say they are the ones who come in and try and clean up all the... heresy
yeah,
and
like,
stuff like that.
I mean, the Inquisition should really be like one of the biggest characters that's supposed to
is
be coming out. You want to do is an Inquisitor.
Yeah,
like the one who's been who's
got the
whole
dragon. That's a cool model,
through.
By the way. Yeah,
yeah, the Inquisitor with the dragon with the shoulder dragon.
Yeah,
who is it?
The chickie who's in a bunch of the videos.
She does the stories,
stuff,
mate.
That Inquisitor.
The stories, yeah.
Yeah, she's telling the stories in a lot of the videos.
Come on, everyone.
They,
come on, viewers. Her,
right?
What is her
she
name?
She looks like she's wearing, like, Eldar armor, and she's got, like, a bald head from memory and
awesome.
A shoulder dragon.
Yeah. Come on.
But, yeah, like, she's an Inquisitor. They,
oh,
they've got to put the Inquisition in the book, you'd think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, much as I complain about how they don't deserve their own book, I fucking hate when they put stuff in White Dwarves. Because if you miss the White Dwarf, you don't have it.
Yes.
If they just put them in the bloody... just tack them on the end of whatever fucking Psychic Awakening book came out that month. But they want to sell White Dwarves. That's why they're doing it.
People who are watching...
Here we go. I think I just found her.
There's a link.
And far out. Huh. Inquisitor Kyria Draxus.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. Draxus, on account of having a fucking dragon.
Yeah, convenient.
Huh. Yeah, that's a Kyria Draxus model revealed on Reddit in 22 days ago.
And a what are the Eldar use? Splinter rifle. No, the other one.
The
shuriken catapult. Shuriken catapult. Yeah. She does, and she's bald, which is awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, she's a cool looking model.
Yes,
I really like her.
So yeah,
I'm down.
Yep.
So, but yeah.
All right. So, all right, so we've covered Inquisitors, we've covered Legion of the Damned, we've covered Death Watch Harlequins, and the Sisters of Silence, all of these missing factions. Now, before we get into the missing factions, or the missing faction that's been missing for so long that nobody remembers them. Does anyone else have missing factions they want to cover? Michael, I believe you had one from the Eldar that should have been covered earlier.
The Exodites haven't been in 40K since forever, and I feel like they're missing a trick because it lets them make like crazy Eldar riding dragons. Like, who doesn't want that?
Were they never released Forge World or anything? It was just...
I don't think they've had Forge World models or anything like that. Like, when were they last an army? Like, were they in second?
I still remember the pictures. I think the John Blanch pictures of them and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversions. Jungle,
just, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because they were the ones that nicked off and settled a new world.
Yeah, the Exodites were the Eldar who were like, fuck living in a big spaceship. We're going to live on a planet, and we're going to have, instead of Wraithbone, we're going to have a big soul crystal in the middle of the planet.
Yeah.
Mm. They were mentioned, apparently, in Psychic Awakening, Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, they mentioned.
But only mentioned.
They keep mentioning that they still exist. That's about it.
Yeah. The next most recent was a fourth ed.
Yeah. Well, it's like they kind of referred to the fact that the Rainbow Warriors used to exist a couple of edition ago.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. I'm almost certain the ship was named after the faction. Anyone else for factions that have been lost that they are sad about?
I know the one you want to talk about, so I refuse to say it.
All right, but I'll cover it in a sec.
You want to talk about your squats? Who doesn't? I my first models I bought for 40K was a squats heavy weapon team, and I painted them so bad they looked like they were frothing at the mouth. It was awesome.
Yes, and I love them too. So what has happened since I actually started to do a bit of research on this? I did take the time to say, look, what happened to the squads? And I found out from a post from the GW forums back in 2004, and I can link to the post. It's still on the web archive.
Wayback Machine. Yeah.
The Wayback Machine still got the page. A poster who was only called Jervis, who everyone seems pretty convinced is Jervis Johnson, and I'm certain it is too, just from the quote and how real it seems, essentially just apologized for taking what was a proud warrior faction in the dwarves and turning them into what amounted to a little person joke in 40K. So let me just quote from this post. Real or not, I feel it conveys everything I wanted to understand. All right, so the reason that the squats were dropped was because the creatives in the studio, people like me, Rick, Andy C, Gav, etc., felt that we had failed to do the dwarf archetype justice in its 40K incarnation. From the name of the race, I mean, squats, what were we thinking? Through to the short biker motif, we had managed to turn what was a proud noble race in Warhammer and the other literary forms where the archetype exists into a joke in 40K. So let me just see if I can link the page.
While you're looking at that, yes, Attack Chicken has called the Exodites were the hillbillies of the Elder.
That's why they rode dragons.
Hillbillies or preppers?
Good point.
You put together your Exodite army. At the center of it, you got this big dragon where you got Grandma up on top in her rocking chair.
Hey, Mom, get off the thing.
The Elder version of the Croods. Gotcha. Yes, I have played for a long time. Yes, the squats. I did play them. It was the first models I bought.
Here it is. Here's the link to the article on the Wayback Machine. Bam. And
so I'm guessing that's a similar take to what happened with Chaos Dwarves.
This is the actual Lexicanium post that I found that in.
They didn't
Chaos Dwarves didn't go away.
No, they didn't. And it turns out that squats didn't go away either.
No, they're in Necromunda.
Yeah. So, well, yes, they're in Necromunda. But also in 40K, they referred to the Tyranids as basically wiping out all of their homeworlds. It was the first Hive fleet. What was it called?
Leviathan.
Yeah. It might have been the other one.
Behemoth.
I think
it was Behemoth, then Kraken, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Behemoth that wiped them out. But anyway, so they basically just, it's that throwaway line. They're all gone. All their homeworlds were wiped out. Not that that stopped the Eldar from existing. And let me quote from that same post that was on the game forums back in 04. So it continues with, this would give us the option in the future to return to making a race based on the squat archetype from 40K. The race was given the name of Demiurge, and a certain amount of preliminary work was done to get a feel for what that race would be like. At present, the only hint of Demiurge is in 40K is the Demiurge spaceship in Battlefleet Gothic. And that was more fleshed out later on in Battlefleet Gothic as not a vassal race to the Tau, but an ally race to the Tau. So these Demiurge are miners. They've got this incredibly advanced technology that the Adeptus Mechanicus can't quite understand. And they are miners that basically fly their colossal mining ships and strip mine planets.
It's Lister.
And they sell their shit to the Tau, which is why they're a client, client and provider ally to the Tau. And that's it. So they're
entirely fleet based race. They live in spaceborne bastion.
Exactly. So they're now the Demiurge, and so they exist. They are there. They're just waiting for someone to design some freaking cool ass models.
Well, yeah, but those aren't the squat. Like this. Well, have you seen the new squat models? They're really good.
There are new squat models.
Yes, there are squats. Like actual squat, not Demiurge. I'll post Necromunda. Them on the 40. I could get them off my shelf.
Go on.
You wouldn't be able to see them, but like, yeah, in Necromunda you can get a squat ammo jack, and there's a squat bounty hunter,
and the rules are pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, they're actually really cool looking.
Are they called squats?
They are called squats. That is what they are called.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they made a big deal. They were like, the squats are back.
Yeah,
they've been using kind of Necromunda and Blackstone Fortress to bring back some of those old races. Yeah. That's why in Blackstone Fortress, Amble. They brought back the Amble. The next Blackstone Fortress thing is bringing back a Zote.
Zote.
The weird old second ed stuff in the specialist games.
Yeah. Which is cool, because that's where character-driven games should be. But I just like the fact it's a mining ship flying around space and it's a new race. They're all cat, aren't they?
Cat. No, you paint them all red, because they're all your red dwarves.
Yeah.
So, in theory, what I'm thinking is perhaps the Demiurge are actually those same craft world type squats, and they've renamed themselves Demiurge or whatever. And the squats that we know are the ones that were living amongst the Imperium and have just stayed there.
Well, at the time when they killed off the squats, they were like, all of the homeworlds were destroyed. The remaining worlds in Imperial space have been subsumed by the Imperium, and they've just been thrown into the normal mill as if they were humans.
Yeah.
So they were like, they've all been thrown into the Imperial Guard. They're not an army unto themselves. They count as Rough Riders. They count as Imperial Guard.
Yeah.
So modern squats are just Imperials with like a heritage.
Yeah.
And short legs.
No short of rattlings.
As opposed to, what are they bloody called? What are they? The guys who are really tall. There are lots of demi-humans in Imperial. There's the ones who have got the thin legs who are really tall. I can't remember what they call them. Something about like long shanks. I think they call them long shanks.
How original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they do go well with gravy.
They do. And dark beer. How are we going, folks? How are we feeling about our lost legions, our lost factions?
Oh, there's got to be more. Look, there. You can start looking at other factions. Like, you don't see... If you want to go down the model path, where are there any models for Valhallan all the guard armies that just don't get any love?
On Victoria Miniatures, it's where those models are.
Yeah, right?
I mean, check out the Talans that she released. They're so cool.
Ah, the podcast will love that look. That's good.
Yeah. Well, those listening at
home, here's a
description of Michael like holding Valhan. Up a model.
Valhallan, there you go. Yeah, she looks cool.
Description of Greg holding up a model.
What? Well, held up a Not Talan model from Not Games Workshop.
They're not listening.
Well, who cares if they are? Surely if she doesn't like call them what their lore involves, she can make whatever miniature she wants.
Correct. Oh, no, it wasn't giving Victoria crap at all.
Oh, yeah, they've all got names that are legally copyright distinct.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. Okay. So we talked about a few stuff. Did we actually come to an agreement or disagreement or how we felt about the ones that didn't get their own psychic books? Do they deserve their own psychic books?
As I said, I don't think they deserve their own books, but they should have been put into other books, even if they were just as an afterthought, because putting them in the White Dwarf sucks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Psychic Awakening, the add-on.
Well, you know, it sells a lot of White Dwarfs.
Yeah, and that's probably why they've done it.
Yeah, but as you said, unless you're buying it on a regular... I don't buy White Dwarfs, sorry. I just don't.
Look, I know why they're doing it, because I literally only buy White Dwarf when they put something like this in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I buy it.
I have the Inquisition one. This is the last White Dwarf one, and it's probably the... Since they start doing them again, it's the only one I've bought.
Well, considering you play Marines and you've already got to buy, like, how many dozen books now to play?
Well, there's the other point. You know, there are a lot of books out there. If you want to play Space Marines, well, good luck to you.
You don't need all of the books to play Space Marines, but you do need more than one.
Your Space Marines, your...
Space Marines Part 2.
Your supplements, your Psychic Awakening.
But you don't need the supplements. You just need Codex Dark Angels. And then you're playing the true Space Marines.
We wanted to play Space Marines, mate. The Loyalists.
The real the Space Loyalists. Marines. I'm sorry. Which Primarch won the Primarch beatdown? Mine. Yeah.
In Vulcan was face. Ripped off.
Take that, Vulcan.
He was
ripped
off. Just
not
saying.
Dead.
Gilliman's the only one still doing his job.
Yeah. Hey, the lion is doing his job. He's lying down.
Yeah, well, look, Gilliman was the only one that was actually prepared for social isolation.
Yeah. Hey, look, the lion's been in some serious social isolation.
Have all the others. They're all on Gap Year or something. Millennium.
They're all still on Ibiza Beach.
Yeah. All hanging out in the Eye of Terror or off on an emo trip.
Hey, look, at least most of them got calm. I mean, Ferris Manus lost his head.
Yeah, well, yeah. And they did do the whole poor Yorick thing with, like, Horus and that, so.
It's reenactment, that's it.
All right,
so is there anything else we want to cover? We've been rambling. Oh, actually, only just over an hour, which is pretty good for us, because usually we get passionate and there's fist fights, which is weird over a camera.
Can't reach each other.
No. Stare at each other intently.
Well, Not Safe for Work, Mark, was going to come in and just claim that we didn't need all of these books because we already have enough of, you know, sub-factions and they don't need their own books. And I think the trouble is that that's exactly the conclusion we all came to.
We kind of did.
Yeah, I think that we've been spoilt because, the Space Marines, they brought out supplements again. And we go, I want a supplement for my faction!
Yeah. That's right. I want a Crescent Moon supplement. Thank you.
You can write it yourself. Get to it.
I did.
I know.
As I said, I mean, you've got a lot of these faction books that are coming out that are really thin. And, you know, it wouldn't have done them any harm to chuck a couple of stats pages in the back for all these various mobs we've mentioned.
I believe if we go back a few months, we were talking about, are the supplements worthwhile? Because we got two units in it.
Or well, look at White Scars.
Yeah.
White Scars definitely had enough room to put Legion of the Damned in the back.
Yes. White
Scars and Black and Flaming Scars.
I mean, look, that's the other thing that's kind of annoying. The fucking Legion of the Damned don't need their own bloody codex, but they've got more units than the White Scars do.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? White Scars didn't even get a fucking unique black unit.
Yeah, we won't. I don't think
that
we'll
was
see,
ridiculous.
I don't think we'll see Legion of the Damned again. They're going to be legends.
And yeah, I think they will be legends.
Yeah,
I think Harlequins are on their way.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
They got their own codex.
Yeah,
like
they
you
got
can't
their own codex.
Can't diss
and
that. I almost think they're
going to
build
good.
Something bigger.
And their players
the Harlequins
out there.
Next.
Well, Deathwatch had its own codex, and it seems to have been demoted.
I don't like how I can put.
I don't feel like Deathwatch has been demoted. I feel like they deserve to be demoted.
Well, says the Chaos player. I think Harlequins still get played in tournaments, so you won't see them go away. Deathwatch, I don't know if they get played in tournaments. But some of their weaponry, and now you can put the... I've been sitting too long, my watch just told me, so we must be going too long.
Just do some sit-ups while you're talking.
I've done my 135 push-ups for the day, thank you.
135 push-ups for the day.
Yep.
Nice.
Tomorrow
I'm going to
do 172.
I did a 5K walk.
That was a joke, you monster.
No.
Wow, you are gonna hurt tomorrow. Because,
so,
yeah.
So that is, I am raising money for mental health well-being. I have to do 3,046 push-ups within 21 days. So, yes, tomorrow
is
176.
Is this one of those things where you have to tag people on Facebook to do it as well?
No.
Thank fuck for that.
So, you just always ignore it.
I do tend to ignore them all. Even the albums one. I couldn't think of 10 albums that influenced
me. Oh, it's hard to narrow down 10 albums.
And, you know, Little Richard, literally, Farley, when he passed away the other day and I listened to, like, a freaking, you know, several hours worth of Little Richard tracks, I realized that I had one of his like greatest hits albums when I was younger, and him and Sam Cooke and Chuck Berry and John Lee Hooker are all freaking massive influences on my understanding and love of rock and roll and the growth of rock and roll. And they should make the top 10, but I don't think they would have if I had have ever done it.
No, it was a tough challenge, but it's neither here nor there in this podcast. We can talk about another podcast, surely. So yes, I'm doing the push-up challenge, and I don't care if it's not 40k. It does mean I have to do a crap load of push-ups over the next 21 days. I'm excited. There's one day I actually have to do 220 push-ups in the day.
Which day?
That would be the day I die.
Is that what killed Buddy Holly? Because he wrote a whole song about it.
Saturday week is the 220 day. Fortunately, they do break it down so they give you targets for each day, and each Sunday is zero. So I like Sundays. I will struggle, but I'll try and get that target. I will share the link if anyone would like to donate towards mental health. It's probably aimed at all the people who have their kids still at home at the moment. Or, you know, people who think they're a loyalist but play Dark Angels.
Dark Angels are the loyalest chapter.
Moving on. So, I think we covered it. Any comments from upstairs? Upstairs. Upstairs is now Twitch chat.
Hi, upstairs.
Yeah, g'day.
Don't throw a German bomb at us.
171, sorry. Game on Steve is also doing the challenge. It's 171 tomorrow. Yeah, so the 23rd of this month is the 220. We are nuts, but you know, it's a good cause. And
push-ups.
Yeah, push-ups.
Good on you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
look how beefcake I'll look at the end of it if I could raise my arms.
You'll come out and you'll have to get us to move your models for you because you'll be all like this.
Nah, well, the good thing is, we social distancing is easing up, so we can actually visit people's houses these days. So hopefully we'll actually get some more games coming in as long as you're all healthy and don't disease me.
Safety warning, though, children, do not lick each other's models, okay?
You don't know that's where out. The Death Guard
it's
has been.
Out.
That's right.
It's right out.
It's right. That's it.
It's okay to love your models, just don't love your models.
Indeed.
Okay.
Well, actually, your models are okay. You can lick your own models because you're the one that's touching them.
There you go, folks. You're allowed to lick your own models. You've been given the okay. And look, if you do have a topic you'd like us to cover next month, please let us know on our Facebook page, or if you're quick enough and type it in your chat screen right now, you can do it. If you're not quick enough, ha-ha, suckers. But thank you for joining us, and thank you for the streamers. We're the ones streaming. Thank you for the people being watching us. And thank you for the comments. Tack Chicken, your dad jokes are bad. Keep it up. Game on Steve is still talking about push-ups.
No. Social
distancing now. Excellent.
You're not allowed to lick each other either.
Make sure the table is 1.5 meters long. Yes, we just make sure we're on the other side of the table. It works out fine. We did do experiment with streaming a game, so we'll probably try it again. Otherwise, Blood Bowl is on tomorrow night. You can watch a game on redbelly.tv. No, Twitch.tv.
Twitch.tv/redbelly.
Thank you. If Dodgy Witch is playing, it will be on.
It'll be on twitch.tv/dodgywitch.
There you go. Michael will work out his one at some point. You can obviously watch the games and other videos on our Facebook page, Real Loud Gamers, or the 40K page, of course, RLG40K. We've got this other social media stuff too, which will come up eventually, and you can go, ooh, ah. And on that note, we'll go away. So, Isabel, say thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you and bye-bye.
Mark, say goody goo goo.
Bye.
Oh, I can't believe you did.
Oh. I'm a rebel. Rebel without a clue.
Right. So join us next month when Mark's not here.
So, some factions have been forgotten. But how forgotten do they deserve to be? Well, I think a couple of pages in a White Dwarf is a bit shit. Maybe stick them in the back of another bloody book. Then they won't be forgotten. Unlike us, who may well be forgotten, but join in next month, don't forget, for more Wobbly Player Syndrome.